Hello, and welcome to episode 30 of Backflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with the British twist. I'm your croaky host, Tom Pringle. I think I'm still getting over my stag do at the weekend. You can find us on Twitter at @Batflips_Nerds. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds and our website, batflipsandnerds.com. Tonight, we're going to be continuing our divisional roundtables, and this time it's the turn of the National League Central. We see it as an opportunity for fans to learn about other teams and divisions that may not watch or have much interest in, or even have any knowledge of at all. And to help me on this journey, I've invited a few of our faithful British baseball fans. So we're going to do as we normally do in reverse order the standings. So first up, it's the Cincinnati Reds, and representing the Reds, we have... no one. They just didn't show up at all. We tried to reach out to the Reds. Mike, stop it. we tried to reach out to the Reds UK Twitter account, but we got nothing back. So unfortunately, I suppose I could have gone hunting for Reds UK's fans, but I just didn't because, you know what, they're not really that interesting this year. But we'll get to that. Next up, though, we do have our very capable representative from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and it is James Feldman. How are you, James?
Yeah, not too bad. Bit of technical difficulties there before, but all good now.
Yeah, there was a few technical difficulties. I can't even say it. That's how bad it was. And we're recording this at 21:35 on a Monday night, and I'm looking at Craig here. I would be in bed by now, having two young children. So this is pretty disappointing for me. So
I'm older, Tom. So I'm a bit of a night owl. Well, I think we're all a bit of a night owl, aren't we?
I think we are, really. Yeah, we've got to be, surely. Yeah. Next up, we've got the St. Louis Cardinals in the standings. Our representative was previous Batflips and Nerds guest Richard Churchill, but he couldn't make it tonight because of an illness. So he's suffering with tonsillitis, I believe he told us. So get well soon, Richard. So again, it'll be me talking about a team, which I know you'll love hearing my voice. My dulcet Brummy tones. But tell you what, speaking of Brummies, speaking of dulcet Brummy tones, chasing down the top spot of the division, Chicago Cubs, and representing them, we have West Midlands' biggest Cubs fan. It's Mike Ivory. How are you, Mike?
Yeah, I'm all good. Thanks, Tom. All good.
Are you happy? Are you feeling good at the moment?
Yeah. We'll go into it more, obviously, as we go into it. But content at the moment is probably the right word for it.
I'm so happy to hear that dull West Midlands accent. It's not just me. We just sound like idiots, don't we? Why are we doing a podcast with our voices? We just sound like absolute idiots.
I'll tell you off what I thought after.
Finally, it's the hipster's pick for the NL Central. I like to call them the darling team and the blueprint for a quick rebuild. It's Craig Herring and his mighty Milwaukee Brewers. How are you, Craig?
Very well indeed, thank you, Tommy. I'm here with the tissues for the nosebleeds at the altitude sickness at the moment, but, you know.
Wondering what you're going to say then.
This division is not that exciting. Yeah. I kind of wish I'd gone there first. That's disgusting, isn't it? How have we done that already? Right, let's get straight into it. Time is ticking by, and it is way past my bedtime, my post-stag do bedtime. So we're going to start with the Reds. They've had an awful start to the year. They're currently 32-45. Fangraphs has them sitting with playoff odds of 0.1%. And as we discussed before the show started, they've still got a chance, whereas the Orioles have no chance, as we discovered on the previous roundtable. So, yeah, they've had a really bad start. They've gone on a bit of a run at the moment, though. So they've won eight. They've gone 8-2 in the last 10, and they've won 7 on the bounce. Including sweeping the Cubs. They swept the Tigers, not a great shout. They've also swept the... they didn't sweep the Pirates. They've been 2-1 in that series against the Pirates, losing 2-1. But they also swept somebody else. Anyway, they've swept quite a few teams recently, and it's been okay for them. I mean, the greatest hitter at the minute is Suarez with almost 2.7 WAR. You've then got Votto just behind him, unsurprisingly, who had that slow start. And then I said, you know, maybe this is the change, Votto. And Darish tried to convince me otherwise. And I said, no, I think there's something wrong. No, it was just Votto being Votto, and he's gone great again. And then the surprise hitter in Scooter Gennett, which our faithful Milwaukee Brewers decided to ditch. And now he's like one of the best hitters in baseball. I believe I heard the other day he was leading the NL in batting average, which is pretty incredible. yeah, the hitters kind of tail off there. We do have a piece coming up soon, hopefully, on the website. We're looking at the Reds and trying to discuss and find out if they're actually legitimate candidates, if they can sort out the next bit they're going to come to, which is their pitching, which is fucking awful. It is dreadful. So we've got Jared Hughes with 0.8 war, Amir Garrett with 0.6 war, David Hernandez with 0.5 war. They're 29th in starters ERA. Their bullpen is 28th in K per nine, and it's 22nd in walks per nine. Yeah, the pitching's terrible. I'm going to start looking at you, Craig, to begin with. Have you got anything to say to the Reds and maybe come back Scooter Jeanette?
Well, I'm delighted for Scooter. He's still very popular in Milwaukee. So, I mean, we've got four games, I think, at the Reds next week. So I think it's going to be quite telling, really, how hot this streak is and where they're going. But yeah, I mean, I think you've covered it, really. I mean, their bats are hot and their pitching is garbage. So it's hard to see how they can sustain it unless they can get some improvements coming in from their pitching rotation, which is just really down. So I haven't seen a lot of them. I've also got this series coming up, but I'd sort of stopped kind of following them, really, because they were so far behind, and then suddenly this hot streak, and you know, all the challenges we've had playing the Cubs this season, which I'm sure we'll cover later, see them go and sweep them. You know, maybe we'd need to start looking at them a little bit more closely, but I have to admit, beyond seeing what, you know, Suarez and Votto were doing, I haven't really noticed until recently that they're on this hot streak.
Yeah, they the Reds are kind of one of my guilty pleasures to watch. If they're on, then I generally try and watch them just to see what's going to happen next with their rotation. Mike, have you got anything to say about the Reds then?
If you'd have asked me this time last week, I'd have probably had a two-page essay on how bad they were. But seeing as they've just swept us 4-0, I think it's best if I keep quiet. you've mentioned it all. Their pitching is pretty shocking. The only good thing about Jeanette hitting so well is that I've got him in my fantasy team right at second base. So thank you, Scooter, for that. But even they had a bad start. They sacked their coach, their manager, and they seem to have improved. But it'll be too little too late this year. It really will for them.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's no chance they're going to get in there. They're certainly not going to get a wild card or anything like that.
In cameo in terms of where everybody else ends up, though, I think that's probably where they might be interesting now.
Say that again, sorry, Craig.
I think they may play an interesting cameo in terms of what happens with Cardinals and the Cubs and us, you know, in terms of how the series games coming up end up.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. And I've just thought, actually, I'm going to start looking at their contracts and see what they've got running out this year, because that could be quite interesting just to see what their potential plan could be. I mean, the Reds being the Reds, they'll probably hold on to everyone and try and think that they're going to be okay, but they won't be at all. James, have you got anything to add while I try and load up SpotTrack?
Yeah, well, I think the Cincinnati Reds are one of those teams that we love to play in the division. They're a bit like the Houston Astros when they were in the Central a few years ago. Although, look how they are now. A completely different team now. So hopefully the Reds don't get moved on anytime soon. We played them not too long ago. We've played them 10 times this year. We've beaten them 7 times. So that's really good for the Pirates. Just getting 7 wins is pretty decent against one of the Central teams.
Yeah, and I think that's the key point. They're the sort of teams you need to beat up and make sure you win. Mike, clearly Cubs excluded from that.
Sorry, Tom. With the Reds, they're the worst team in the league, but there are worse teams out there in other leagues. When you're looking at, you know, your Tigers, for example, your White Sox, the Reds aren't actually that bad in comparison to them.
Yeah, and as James just spited up then about the Marlins as well, they are just absolutely dreadful. And thankfully, we'll come on to the Pirates soon, but they've not exactly been tanking the Pirates. You haven't got, you know, two teams that are actively tanking in that league, which just, it's so disappointing when you see it happening.
Not yet.
Not yet. That's very, very true. Right, I'm trying to find free agents for the Reds, and I think there's literally Matt Harvey and that's it. So that's quite interesting. The fact that they don't have anyone else. They do have, surprisingly, a rather large amount of retained salary, which is mainly Mascherano. Mesoraco, sorry. So yeah, that's I'll stop looking at that because it's distracting me now. So the Reds, they're not great. They're not going to be great. They don't really stand a chance of making the playoffs. We don't think they're going to be anything important, but it'll be, you know, what they do towards the final run and how they're going to affect the rest of the decision, you know, taking wins off people. I think essentially for teams, they need to just get into that. Well, I was going to say get into the bullpen, but just face the starters, keep the starters in there, let them walk you all the time. That's all they seem to be doing at the moment. Right. I think we've had enough of the Reds. They're back. James, let's talk about your Pirates. Currently 36-41. Tell us about your Pirates and why we should believe or maybe not believe.
Well, we were believing at the start of the season. I wrote an article for you on 17th of May asking, are the Pirates for real? I think they've answered that for us. They're not. We were top of the division when I wrote it, 25-17. I wish I never wrote it now. I feel like I've jinxed it. We've gone 11-24 since then. Sort of on pace for the Pocota rankings, had us projected for 78-84. I think we're just behind that at the moment. I think we're averaging 468. Not too great amongst the rest of the National League. We're 8-25, which is pretty terrible. We're 18-16 against the division, which is pretty good, and 10-2 versus the American League. So it's just against the other teams, really, in the league. Haven't been playing well enough against the likes of the Phillies. We got set by them, the Rockies. We just lost. We've lost five in a row, and four of those are against the Diamondbacks. We started really strong. We started after March and April. We were 18-12. Looked really good. The batters were hitting really well, winning a lot of series. And then since then, we've just sort of slumped. In May, we were 11-15. It was not too bad, sort of what you'd expect, around 500. But this past month, we were 7-14, which has been absolutely terrible. I spoke with Gareth Langley just over the weekend, who also runs the Pirates UK account. And we both agreed that we've just been very streaky this season. At the end of May, we lost five straight. And then straight after that, we went on to win five. And in April, we lost four straight twice. But then we also won five straight during that period. And this month we've just been terrible. We're on a 5-game losing streak, and I can't imagine us going on a 5 win streak. Although we've got a couple of games coming up against the two worst teams in the National League, the Mets and the Padres. But they're all on the road. We've got 9 games on the road coming up. We are 6 games behind for a wild card slot. It's not terrible. I just can't see us making a dent in that. Maybe over these next two series against the Mets and the Padres, we might be able to make some sort of dent. But I just think in the long run, especially after the after the All-Star break, I think teams are just going to start chugging away and start pushing themselves for a playoff, especially the teams that might be a little bit behind at the moment, like the Dodgers. I think they'll go on to win their division. And yeah, it's just after the great start, it's just been a bit piratey the last sort of month and a half. I think we're going to end up around 500, which is typical Pirates. There are some bright spots. Austin Meadows, he was called up after Starlin Marte was injured. Looked really good, performed well. Because Marte came back, it made it a bit difficult to keep Meadows in the lineup. But we've kept him in the ball club. We rotate in between Dickerson, Polanco and Marte. Polanco misses out a bit more than the other two to fit Meadows in. He's hitting 327, which is pretty good, especially for a young guy. He's hit 5 home runs, which is the same as Dickerson, who was brought in to add a bit of power to the lineup. Although Dickerson's probably been one of our standout players this year. But Meadows, he's been injured the last week, 2 weeks, but since he's come back, he's looked good again. I think his last 10 at-bats, he's reached base 6 times. That's probably about as good as it gets in terms of the players. Bad players, the first one you look at is Sean Rodriguez. He's been at the Pirates before. We've let him go and we brought him back just because of his versatility. He can play a few different spots in the lineup on the upfield. But after missing a lot of games at the start of the month so he could work on his batting, His last three games he started, I think they wanted to see if he's still got anything to his game. Well, he's gone 0 for 9, and he struck out 6 of those times. So if they weren't looking to get rid of him at the end of the season, I think they definitely will now. But I think they're going to try and rush back Jung Ho Kung, if you remember him. He was pretty good when he first joined, but he's actually had 3 DUIs, so he couldn't get a visa to come back into the US. He finally got that sorted earlier this, I think it was about 2 months ago. So he's been playing in the minor league since then. Looked okay, probably come back probably sooner rather than later, especially if Rodriguez isn't playing that great. Polanco, thought last season that might have been his down year, but it couldn't be any worse this year. His batting average is the worst of his career. I think he was working on his swing during the off-season, but it hasn't helped at all. If anything, he's just getting worse. And the amount of times he's left runners on base, it's frustrating watching him play, because you think he can finally step up to the mark, but it just hasn't got going. And starting rotation as well. I mean, we lost Gerrit Cole, who's obviously a big loss. You can see how well he's doing for the Astros. He gets the run support for the Astros, which I think looks better for his win-loss record. But we miss an ace. And Jameson Taillon, it was his chance to shine this year and become the team's number one. He probably is the team's number one, but that doesn't say much about the rest of the starting rotation. Looked really strong at the start of the season. He shut out the Reds. In his second start, he only gave up a hit and 2 walks. But then straight after that, like the Pirates season, very streaky. 2 games later, he gave up 5 runs to the Phillies and then 7 against the Tigers. But still young, so there is some hope for him. The rest of the rotation have had their moments, but overall they're not great. Got a young guy called Nick Kingham who came up for a bit. Looks like a really good pitcher in his debut. He was on a no-hitter through 7, struck out 9 against the Cardinals. But since then, he's only started 5 times, and I think he's given up 3 or more runs in 4 of those games. But he's still young, and we'll probably see more of him towards the end of the season when they start bedding in youngsters looking towards next year already. But overall, the record we have now is probably what we expected at the start of the season. But with the strong start we had, I think we had, well, they gave us hope, and they looked like they had some promise. But the last month or so just shows how bad we really are. And if the Reds weren't in the division, I think we would definitely be the worst team by a long shot in the division.
I think that kind of ties it all up, really. Before the season started, though, you've got to remember everyone was predicting the Pirates were going to be terrible. The fact they'd started their teardown and everyone said they were going to be really bad. I think the fact they had that good start has, like you said, kept them afloat, really, because they realistically should be below the Reds. I've just looked down the list of divisions, and there's only 2 divisions where the 4th place team are within 10 wins of the top of the division. And out of these 2 teams, I think it's safe to say the Pirates aren't going to be the one that could go to the wild card slot. So the Pirates are 9 games back at the moment, and then the only other division is the NL West. So from 1st to 4th, I could see any of those potentially making a wild card slot. Yeah. The Rockies 6.5 back, and the Giants above them with 5 wins back. It's not really. I think this season, as you've said, is kind of a fair representation. Fangraphs has got them currently projected at 77 wins. I can't remember what we said at the start of the year, but I still feel that's quite high. They've properly tailed off, as you've said. I mean, at the moment, I think their highest Fangraphs WAR in terms of hitter is Francisco Cervelli, who has made some serious swing changes, which has been fantastic, especially for my fantasy team, so I picked him up for free. And he's just been brilliant. He's been awesome. I think he's already beaten his single season home run record, and we're not even, a third of the way through the season.
Yeah, although he's in the car, which is a bit annoying. It's just frustrating. As soon as a player starts to show some sort of poison, look like they could be a decent player, just either lose their swing or they get injured.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the nature of their depth, though, isn't it? If you haven't got anyone to then back that up, you haven't got anyone who could slot in and at least be replacement level, then it's gone. You're going to start losing those games. Crave, you got anything to add for our plucky Pirates?
Nothing beyond what's already been said, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's I think that hot streak at the start was precisely that. And I think they're going to struggle a little bit over the rest of the season, unfortunately.
I think the other teams are only going to get better, like yourself and the Cubs.
Yeah.
So looking at Pittsburgh free agents, so the rentals that could potentially go out, you've literally got Jordy Mercer and Sean Rodriguez. Now, Mercer could try and pull something in. His market value has gone through the roof compared to what he's actually getting. Sean Rodriguez, you're going to get nothing.
Yeah, he's definitely going to go. We've let him go once before. Just hope we don't lose another one of the big players. No, we lost McCutchen. It's probably the right time for him to go, and we haven't missed him as much in the outfield. It's just been the other positions, I think, which we're lacking.
I think Meadows was stuck behind McCutchen for quite a long time, and I think he was finding it, well, maybe I'd imagine he'd be finding it quite frustrating. Like you say, I think it was definitely the right time for McCutchen to go. The fact that the Giants took him was superb, because then we could rib Darius for them having such an old team. Mike, have you got anything to add before we move on?
Not really what's already been said. You're probably around where you should be. And the thing, I think we've departed, so our shoots of potential in the future to be a good, so like I said, Kingham is a really good pitcher. And when we played you last time, you pulled him, and then I think you demoted him to AAA the next day.
Really annoying.
I'm quite surprised at. But yeah, just in regards to Polanco, again, I'm going back to my fantasy team. It's feast or famine. He'll either hit you one home run in one hit, or he'll go none for eight over two games.
And I've seen your fantasy team, so it's definitely not helping your cause.
Nothing's helping my cause, mate. I'm 11.
I think, Polanco is a big one, definitely. Everyone was quite expecting quite a lot from him this year. And even if you just look at fantasy, I know we're going on about fantasy a lot tonight, but if you even look at his draft position, he was quite high and everyone was pretty big on him. He's been that streaky player that you were talking about. He's been that problem to the whole team this season, really.
Got a huge swing as well, which I don't think helps it. Every time he swings the ball, it looks like he's going to knock himself off the plane.
Yeah.
I mean, even players like Cullen Stratton as well, they I was expecting more from them. But it is what it is. Like I said, you're probably where you would be now.
Yeah. No,
about 500.
I agree.
So is the future bright? What's the farm system looking like? Do you know much about it?
Yeah, so like we said, we had Meadows who came through this year. And we also had Nick Kingham who sort of being promoted before the sort of higher tiered prospects. We've got one guy, Mitch Keller, who's just a serious strikeout pitcher. I think his velocity is like one of the top ones in all of all of the prospects coming in. We've got a guy called Shane Baz as well, another pitcher. So our outlook for the future in terms of pitching, we've got some really young pitchers coming through, but I think they probably won't see any sort of major league time until probably next year or maybe towards the end of this year, depending on how they are getting on. We've got a shortstop, Cole Tucker, who looks pretty good as well. He's 21. Probably, again, won't see him until next year. Because I think they'll be bringing up Jung Ho Kung when it's possible to see if he's got anything left. If not, they probably sort of let him go at the end of the year just because it's more hassle than it's worth. Apart from that, the draft, we signed a guy, probably the best name in the draft, Travis Swaggerty. He's also an outfielder, but I mean, he's young and he's only going to, hopefully he'll just come through the farm like Meadows has and might see him in a few years' time.
So just to clarify, you've got Swaggerty and was it Shane Baz?
Yeah, Shane Baz, yeah.
That's a great made-up name, isn't it?
We had another guy with a pretty sort of swanky name as well. I think we picked second, but I can't remember his name now.
So, I mean, there's promise there. We're going up to the Cardinals next, but, you know, maybe, you know, a few years down the line you could get there. But the Pirates being the Pirates, they're not going to spend, are they? So, it could be a long way off. Right, should we move on to those pesky Cardinals now? Richard Churchill, unfortunately, couldn't be with us tonight. But I did say to him, have you got anything you'd like to say? And he essentially said that my view on the Cardinals is they are pretty meh and going to end up missing the postseason again. due to their only consistency being inconsistency. Matheny fired. So the Cardinals are currently 40-36. They've got playoff odds of 37%. They've kind of done their magic again, haven't they? The hitters aren't exactly doing great. You've got Paul DeJong, who's done very well, but he's now out for 4 to 8 weeks, so he's going to be screwed for a while. So there's been no real standout in terms of hitters for the Cardinals, which is something that's unusual for them. But the typical Cardinals magic, you've got Miles Mikolas, which is just a fantastic name, who's currently leading the Cardinals. Say again, sorry.
He's got a good moustache as well.
Fantastic moustache, yeah. I'm an appreciator of moustaches. he's got a 2.69 ERA. He's striking out 18% of the guys he faces, and he's only got a 3% walk rate at the moment. He's been fantastic. I mean, the downturn for the Cardinals, really, in terms of their rotation, is the fact that Wainwright, they've just held on to him, and he is broken again. And Alex Reyes, who we're all hoping to come back and absolutely shine, and they initially said they're going to put him in the bullpen, then decided, no, we're going to start him. Then we did one start. His fastball was like, I think it was like 97, then down to 82, and then he just disappeared, and then he was done, finished for the season. So they've broken Alex Reyes, which is a bit of a shame. But in terms of team stats, I mean, their starters ERA, they're third in starters ERA, which really surprised me. They're ninth in Fangraphs WAR as well for their starters, which is just crazy. I mean, where have they got this from?
Rotation.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at some of the rotations that we looked at before, and we'll come on to the Cubs soon, but you look at that Cardinals rotation, you would never have looked at it and gone, yes, this is the one. Waka Waka has started to turn around a little bit.
He's played really well.
Just been put on a DL, though, hasn't he, Waka?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, just got on a 10-day DL, yeah, I think.
So, I mean, this could cause them problems, and it could leave them a bit limbo, especially when it comes up to the trade deadline period. I mean, for me, I think the Cardinals, the fans would not accept it if they start just trading people away. I mean, bearing in mind, what have they got on there? Okay, here's their 2019 free agents. You've got Adam Wainwright. They're not going to get anything for him. Greg Holland, definitely not going to get anything for him. Bud Norris, potentially, they could get something for him. He's getting a few saves at the moment.
He is.
And Red Sox favorite Edward Mojica. They're not going to get anything for him at all. So, I mean, if they're going to do a fire sale, it's not going to be a massive one that we expect in terms of players that are going this season. And unfortunately, I think they're going to be in so much of a limbo, and the chance of getting into that wild card place, they're probably going to almost go for it and maybe trade some guys away. Mike, have you got any opinions or thoughts on the Cardinals and the fact they just won't go away?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're just there every time. I think they're starting to fall away. And I think they've just tied up a series with the Brewers, I think. But in regard to, I mean, you look at their batting, you look at Jose Martinez, DeJong, etc. They're all hitting decent averages. And then you look at their BABIP, and it's all, every single one's over 300. So it's got to come crashing down soon. They've had a good ERA with their rotation with Waka and Mikolas, and is it Flaherty, their other one?
Yeah.
Who I've been really impressed with. And then Bud Norris, obviously, in relief, who's obviously been outshadowed by the Brewers bullpen. So they have got the good foundations there, but I do agree, I think they are going to risk it all to try and maybe get a wild card space. And I don't think they'll still have enough, if I'm going to be honest. Dexter Fowler seems to, the fans don't really seem to like him. And they seem to think he's quite lazy. It hasn't really paid off for them. So in regards to actually firepower, I think they're going to start, it's going to start coming down Ozuna as well. So that's my opinion. I don't think they'll get close.
Craig, anything to add on that?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I think their bats have plateaued or actually declined slightly, haven't they? I mean, fam's still getting the runs and things like that, but they're not what they were. And there's two or three standouts, as we said, with Mikolas and Waka and Norris, but they're so dependent on them, I think. I don't think they've got the depth and the rotation that's going to keep that momentum going. They've had a bit of a hot streak with a couple of really, some great closing in particular I've seen from Norris, and like we said, Mikolas has been sensational, but I just don't know if they've got enough around them to keep any kind of momentum going to make a surge at the playoffs or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're currently, Fangraphs have got them projected at about, well, it says 84.6 wins, so let's call it 85 wins for cash. That kind of puts them just in the playoff, the wildcard chat.
Yeah, it does.
But it's not like one of those teams that you see get into the wildcard and you go, yeah, these stand a real chance. It just seems like they'd sort of splutter and filter out and they'd be gone. Yeah. They might get through the wild card with Mikolas pitching or maybe even Flaherty. I mean, he's done so well so far. You mentioned him, Mike. He's got, what, a 2.5 ERA. He's striking out nearly 30% of the guys and he's got a 7% walk rate. So he's doing really well at the moment. I think he's only pitched about 50 innings as well. So he's got plenty in the tank. James, anything to add at all?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the other guys. I just don't think their depth in their batting lineups good enough. They just don't have anyone outside of, you know, Molina's getting on a bit. He's 35 years old. They've got a young guy called Carson Kelly. He's only played a handful of times this year. I think he will be the successor to Molina once he finally goes. They brought up Harrison Bader, who is highly touted as well. He's looked okay in spells. I think he's batting okay. He's played more games than I thought he would this year. And the same with Tyler O'Neill as well, similar player in the outfield who's played for them. Apart from that, they don't really have anyone outside their main sort of core of players that I just don't... Not, they haven't got anyone in their depth that are really going to sort of propel them into a... Not to win the division anyway, maybe a wildcard spot. They're one of those teams that could probably sneak it at the end.
Well, that's Cardinals magic, isn't it? They'll do it. They'll definitely do it. We're all saying this and they'll just cruise to the playoffs. Not a problem for them at all. Right, let's move on to everybody's new favourite team, the dynasty team, the team that everyone was so happy finally broke the curse and everyone loves them because they're such a fun team, especially with Rizzo just kicking people for no reason whatsoever. It's those mighty Chicago Cubs who are currently 42-33. Mike, tell me about your plucky, lovely Cubs that everyone loves and Madden's so funny.
We're just darlings, ain't we? Like darlings of the NL Central. like you said, so we've started we're currently at 42-33, which is about a 0.560, two games back. If you were asking me at the start of the season after 75 games, if I would have took the 42 wins, definitely. Definitely as well in comparison to the fact that in 2017, we were 38-37, roughly around 75 games. So we're actually four wins up at the moment on what we were this time last year. It just hasn't helped that the Brewers have started strongly and then maintained it when I think quite a few people expected them to start falling away. So, yeah, on track for around about 91 wins will be... I'll be disappointed if that doesn't win the division, but as a Red Sox fan, you'd probably know that as well because it's going to be quite similar. So when I was kind of looking into why, you know, like I said, it's not going wrong, it's going well. We have got, I think, it's the third best record in the NL. Just behind the Braves and the Brewers. So it's not going wrong, but when I started looking at it, I thought there's two things where it looks like it could be pitching and batting. And then I thought, I can't really come on and say that because that's just simple.
But do you know what? You're absolutely right. So when I started looking through the stats, because as I said, considering they play a lot of UK friendly games, I generally don't watch that much Cubs, but my word, offensively, they're fantastic. And then pitching, dreadful. Beyond John Lester, they're dreadful.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we start with batting first, the reason why I'd say we are struggling more on the batting side, like, you know, our average, we're fifth in the league, our on-base percentage, we're top. You know, so it's the batting averages and the on-base percentages are there. Now, the standout record for me is that we are also top in leaving the most runners in scoring position in the whole of the MLB. We're over four, and that's been our downfall for so many times this season. And we get people on second and third, whether it's you know, Rizzo getting hit by a pitch again, or and we get people at second and third every time, and we strike out or we ground out. The bats, they have been there when you look at the statistics. People like Al Mora is batting at 323 this year, which has been incredible. Rizzo hasn't been where he normally is, which is he started off really, really slow. So he's really starting to be back to where he should be, but he's still got a way off. The two batsmen that have really, really impressed me this year are Ben Zobrist and Jason Hayward. Because I wasn't expecting as much from them. Javi Baez, you know what you're going to get. You know he's going to swing at pretty much every pitch he gets because he just doesn't know where his strike zone is. But before the start of the season, when they were doing the 25-man squad, Ben Zobrist, I would admit this, is probably one of the names that I thought would have been 50-50. And he's leading our team in on-base percentage. He's just been absolutely phenomenal considering he's well, 30, 36, 37. He's been here for a couple of years. And Jason Hayward, as we know, he's had issues with his batting since he's moved over. He's really only been in the team the last couple of years, if I'm going to be brutally honest, for his gold glove defensive work that we did have better offensive batsmen out there, but this year he's really coming to his own. His percentages aren't great because he started typical Jason Hayward fashion, but since the month of May when he hit that grand slam around like 3 weeks ago in the bottom of the ninth to win the games, he's really progressed. But again, batting, as we mentioned, isn't really the issue. Our pitching, even though it is the issue, we still, as a rotation, pitching at a 3.29 ERA. So as an ERA, it's actually really good. The main problem we have is that most of that is John Lester, who has been phenomenal this year again. Mr. Consistent, you just know what you're going to get with John Lester. I feel the issue now we've got with our pitching rotation is that our top five, we've lost Darvish for the last month. I reckon he's just going to come back after the All-Star game. But even when he was pitching, he was pitching at almost a 5 ERA. Barbie's last game where he actually played quite well before he tore his tricep against the Reds. Where he allowed one run in six innings. It hasn't been the pitcher that we needed to replace someone like an Arrieta. And then moving on from that, we've had to bring Montgomery up to the rotation, which I wasn't too concerned about. As I wrote for you guys at the start of the year, I'd have actually had him in the rotation to begin with, and he's actually proved to be our second pitcher in regards to ERA. And then you're going through, you've got Hendricks, who's been very, very inconsistent this year, which is unusual for him. Quintana, who's been, he's playing at a 6-6 win-loss record at the moment. And then Chatwood, who is the most frustrating pitcher I've ever had the misfortune of watching. You know, he's actually quite good, but put it this way, he's walked 63 bats this year. Our second is Quintana with 37. So it's over 50% of our next pitcher in walks.
Have you got Chatwood's strikeout rate there? As in how many strikeouts is that this year?
Don't in front of me. I've got his walk rate because I thought that's what we talk about more.
Yeah, hold on. let me find it because this is the one that just amazes me. This is annoying. Ah, here we go. So, where are strike? Oh, there we go. Okay, so he has. You ready? He's walked 63, as you correctly said, and he struck out 64. He's now in the positive for strikeouts to walks. Good
I'll
job,
tell you what,
man.
I'll take it all back.
It's the turning point.
With Chatwood as well, the first game against the Reds, he took the loss and we lost 1-0 and he looked really good. I think he pitched out probably 9 in his first game. And when we signed him, all the Rockies fans were saying he does have a problem with his command. with his fastball, I've seen a couple and they've been like what you'd call beamers in cricket, head high beamers, and I thought he's going to get ejected in a minute. He's just, and you can tell when he kind of turns to himself on the mound, he's going, "What in God's name, come out of my hand?" Then he just hasn't got a clue himself.
I'm desperately trying to find somewhere in the splits where Tyler Chatwood is doing well. The home road split is bad. The one I like is the fact that when the bases are empty, he's got 11.32 walks per nine. That is insane.
That's, yeah. It is. And it's like that. And when we signed him, he had a 6 ERA when we signed him. And everyone was like, yeah, but it's Coors. You know, things happen at Coors. And it just, because we've had to move Montgomery now up into our rotation, our bullpen has suffered massively. I mean, we've gone long in a few games. The Marlins at the start of the year, we went 18 innings and took the loss. Happy days. After that, one of our relief pitchers who pitched 7 innings then whacked on the DL60, which was, again, just a double whammy. But, I mean, with our injuries, we've got Darvish, we've got Carl Edwards Jr., who I love. Morrow is now gone to the DL10 from last Monday for putting on his trousers, and he pulled a muscle. And then on top of this, I've just found out that Rob Zastrony is also now on the DL. So our bullpen is really struggling in regards to the names in it aren't exactly great. Our two best performers in the bullpen for me this year, even though I love Soshek, I do love Steve Soshek, but for me, is Pedro Strop. I love Pedro Strop, and he's pitching at 2.8 ERA. And we laughed about it when we signed him, Tom, but Randy Rosario, he's already won 3 games this year on a 1.6 ERA. He's been incredible. And it's so, yeah, that's where we are. Once Darvish comes back, I'd like to think we're going to have to move Montgomery back to the bullpen, because we're not going to drop Chatwood to AAA, because he's just signed a 3-year, $38 million contract. And that's an expensive person to have in AAA.
Don't tell me about expensive people in AAA. As a Red Sox fan, I know all about Rusney Castillo and Alan Craig sitting in AAA. While you've been talking, I've desperately been searching for something for Chatwood. First time through the order as a starting pitcher. He's got a 2.68 ERA, so perfect. First time through the order. Yeah. So let him go once and then take him out straight away.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing is, as well, out of all of our pitchers, he's actually our best batsman. So that works perfectly for us. Let him bat once, and then after 3 innings, get rid. But we had our first bullpen day this weekend, and it was a nightmare because Chatwood's currently on paternity leave. So our pitchers are all gone. So we had Favell starting, we had our bullpen.
Can he do I imagine it's EU, but definitely in the UK. Can he have 9 months off paternity and still get full pay? Is he allowed to do that? Share his wife's maternity leave. Maybe he could just stay out the whole time.
Well, we get Drew Smiley back at the end of the year. And there's got to be a walk somewhere on how quick it will take for him to walk the baby. There's got to be a joke in there somewhere about it. What I'll leave on, in our next 18 games, we've got 4 against the Dodgers that we start tonight, 3 against the Twins, 2 against the Tigers, 3 again against the Reds, 3 against the Giants, and then 3 against the Padres, and then it's the All-Star break, which we traditionally do a lot better on after the All-Star break. Those 18 games, we've got to be looking at 12 wins there at least, because some of them are really, really poor teams. So we are unfortunately where we are with it at the moment. Like I said, I'm not too concerned. If we have to go through the wild card, then you know what, that's more of a tip of the hat to the Brewers rather than anything else we could have done. So again, yeah, not too concerned yet, but if you do one closer to the postseason, ask me then.
And that's quite useful context for the Reds sweeping you as well, in terms of the fact you basically have nobody to pitch for this. That might help explain it.
Yeah, most definitely. And also, I've just had a look while you were talking then. In the last 30 days, I thought I'd look at WRC+. If you're not familiar, 100 is average. Anything above 100 is good. So number 2 in the league for WRC+ in the last 30 days is the Reds with 125. So they are seriously storming it at the moment. James, yeah. your Pirates are 73. They're currently 28, so they're bad. Really bad. Sorry, mate. Craig, have you got anything for the Cubs then? We'll come mainly towards the Brewers, but just focus on the Cubs at the moment. Anything for them?
I mean, we still struggle to beat them.
You did last time, though.
I think it all stopped going wrong. We went on a... We can talk about us in a minute, but we got swept at Wrigley in some quite narrow games about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and then went on a great run and won, I think, 6 series on the bounce, and then lost to the White Sox. So this cursed city is just kind of a curse. and then we finally, did a back-to-back shutouts And we've been bang average since that moment. It was kind of like we beat the Cubs and did back-to-back shutouts and then decided to go on holiday for a bit. So it's been, we still struggle to beat them. Certainly their pitching has been what I saw was brilliant. We really struggled with our bats against them in most of the games. It's been, single runs, two runs in quite a few of the games, and Leicester in particular has just looked superb. So, I'm realistic about where the season might end because I've been here. We were here last season, and as I just said, after the All-Star game, they just shoot off and leave us in the dust. So I'll enjoy it while it lasts. But there's enough depth and talent in that squad that if they all get fit, that and hearing about who they've got coming up as well, that they've done well to get where they are really, and they're still a bloody good baseball team. So
yeah. So two quick points on that then. So Fangraphs still definitely believe the Cubs are going to win the division. They're at 70% to win the division at the moment. Mm. So I don't think there's any worry about that. And they're 89.1 to make the playoffs. So there's seriously no worry about that at all. Out of interest, though, they are the only division in baseball where to win the World Series is below double digits. So Dodgers are 10.9, Nationals 10.1, Astros 26%. That's seriously high. Indians 11.3, Yankees at 13.9, and the Cubs are at 9%. So there's not a lot of belief the World Series winner is going to come out of that division. In terms of free agents, the Cubs aren't breaking down anytime soon. They've got Justin Wilson, Chris Jimenez, Anthony Bass. So they're not going anywhere.
Chris Jimenez, who on our bullpen day famously closed for us, even though I think we were 11-0 down at a 27 ERA from one inning.
and if you're not familiar, Chris Jimenez is a catcher, so he shouldn't have been there at all. James, have you got anything to add quickly?
Yeah, I just think it's quite ironic that the Tigers is the team that aren't going to go away anytime soon. We've got a really young team, very talented team, but the two standout players this season Michael's spoken about is Ben Zobrist, who's over 30, and John Lester, who's over 30, whereas you look at the rest of the team, they're pretty much everyone's under 30. So I think that's pretty telling, but they've got so many years to come where they can improve. So can't see them going away anytime soon, like you said.
No, Chris Bryant's leading the team in WAR at the moment with Kyle Schwarber right behind him. And then soon after that is Ben Zobrist. So you're right. Yeah, Zobrist has been the real standout guy, but I mean, their youth is still leading the way. Just need Anthony Rizzo to stop kicking people. That'd be fantastic. Right, we're going to move on to the Brewers now. And do you know what I said at the start? They're this sort of the hipster's pick, and they're a bit of a darling team. And do you know what they are? They've said they were going into a rebuild, and they've turned it around pretty quick. I can still see them still doing almost a rebuild, not this season, but they're still in that position where they could still make those changes and go into a rebuild. But for this season, currently 45-32, they've got 55% chance of making the playoffs. Craig, are your Brewers for real?
I hope so. I sincerely hope so. I mean, it's not as clear cut a season as it sounds. I mean, I've been colossally entertained all season because it's been so all over the place. But there isn't a kind of pattern, an obvious pattern to for instance, our starting pitching hasn't been great. The rotation isn't that good. But then the bullpen have stepped up and been outstanding. And then, Kane and Yelich have been superb acquisitions, and they've made a real difference this season. But then, we've had three or four game patches when we can't get a run. And it's not as clear cut, I think, a position as it looks. We've certainly had some great, streaks. We've got, as I said, we're on six series in a row, coming off the back of being swept by the Cubs, and in particular, Hader and Jeremy Jeffers, people like that, have been absolutely outstanding in the pitching rotation. Julius Chashi was really good for a while, but he had a disastrous game against the Cardinals the other night, when I was just about to say how good he was looking. And so that served me right. Well, you saw a lot of him last year, obviously, with the pads. I think it's been hugely entertaining. We've had lots of narrow wins. Lots and lots of last gasp wins in the ninth and things like that have kept it going. And any time somebody's needed to step up, either out of the bullpen or out of AAA, they've seemed to have delivered. So Freddy Peralta stepped up on Mother's Day, never pitched before, and an outstanding game. He's only played twice. He's playing against the Royals tomorrow evening. So I'm looking forward to having another look at him. But yeah, I mean, we could really do with there's enough talent in offense now, but what we don't have is a standout pitcher. And that's what everybody said when we got Kane and Yelich, was, what are you going to do about your pitching? And I think everyone was hoping Jimmy Nelson would be back a lot earlier. He's still on 60-day DL, I think, so I'm not sure when we're going to see him. I don't think he's thrown a ball yet, so I don't know if we'll see him this season or not. But, yeah, Jimmy was good last year, but whether he's that kind of number one standout, you know, Max Scherzer-style pitcher that you're kind of looking for, I don't know. So there's still a lot of work to do, I think, particularly with the pitching rotation. But when it comes to, you know, Corey Knebel went down and we thought this is going to be terrible for us, and then upstepped the entire bullpen and they've all just been outstanding. And so it's been an unpredictable season, but it's been very entertaining. So, I'm certainly not bored. But it's hard to know where it will end up. All of us at the moment, other than the Reds, are at sort of 4-6, 5-5 in the last 10 games. There seems to be we're all kind of flatlining a bit. So I feel like the next chapter in the NL Central is going to kick in over the next couple of weeks. It'll be interesting to see. I just can't predict what it will be. I'm hoping Thames is going to bat well. He obviously started April just like he did last year, but then he got injured. Last season, he just went completely off the boil and resurfaced come September. But I'm hoping actually that he's going to be a bit more consistent across the remainder of the season. So that will help now he's back in the squad. And obviously we've got Jesus Aguilar, our new superstar, who has just been extraordinary since he came back into the team. And I think he leads the Brewers now in terms of home runs and in terms of RBIs, I think, as well. He's got 50 RBIs. Yelich and Kane lead on runs. Travis Shaw is still doing, you know, what he does, and he's been a great acquisition. Thank you very much. I'm hugely entertained, but I'm not quite sure what the pattern is yet, because there's been a lot of inconsistency of performance in terms of all areas bar really the bullpen.
I'm gonna start by addressing the Travis Shaw comments. That trade is not looking so good now, is it? With Tyler Thornburg just disappearing. Don't even know if he's still on the Red Sox roster. My word. I wasn't a firm believer in Travis Shaw, and I think I even said at the start of this season I still don't believe in him. Last year, I'm being made to eat my words, seriously, because he's been great.
Yeah.
Lorenzo Cain has just been superb. What an acquisition he's been. It's just been fantastic. But yeah, like you say, Josh Hader, there's been plenty of articles written about him, but wow, 55.2 Ks per nine at the moment. 55.2% Ks per nine. So his strikeout rate is just insane. Yeah, 55.2 Ks per nine would be way too much. He's just been fantastic. And you mentioned Chacin. So I decided to have a look at his splits, because last year for the Padres, like, his home road splits were just insanely different. And it's not really there. His ERA stayed pretty much the same, home and road. His walks are about the same. His strikeouts are about the same. Like you said, he had that good month in May, and that's about it, really. He's not really been anything incredible. But you're not expecting that from Chacin. He's the sort of guy who's going to eat innings, and he's just going to get you a few strikeouts. He's not going to be anything special.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, you know, he kept it very tidy for a few games. And, you know, when he gets his slider working, he's a lovely pitcher to watch. But he's not a lights-out winner.
He's not. He's pretty solid. I mean, his war for the last few seasons has been hovering around two, so he's going to get you the basics, that what you need. I was expecting a bit more from Zach Davies this year. He's been on DL quite a lot.
I'm thinking he was pitching injured, to be honest. I think he's just on a 10-day DL now, or he may even be back at Sky Sox and AAA, but I was expecting more from him too. I had high hopes. Suter's done all right. He stepped up when asked, but again, not exceptional. Chase Anderson had a decent game the other day. Had his best strikeouts for a couple of years. But again, sort of all over the place, really. Junior Guerra's back. And he had a brilliant season two seasons ago, got injured on the first, on opening day last year, and never really recovered. He's looking pretty decent. But I think where, you know, Kane and Yelich have really, really transformed the bats. Because last year we were home run or bust. I think we led the NL Central in home runs because we couldn't actually get around the bases any other way in some games last year. And it's feast or famine. So we're actually seeing a little bit more variation in scoring this season, which is quite nice. And they're definitely making a difference there. But I think we need to address starting pitching. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. And it's one of the few teams I end up tuning into and watching if the Red Sox or Padres or anyone else isn't on.
And Craig Counsell's clearly in win mode. You know, he's been very aggressive about it. I mean, Orlando Arcia is a great shortstop, but because his batting was all over the place, down he went. And, and so he's not afraid to make bold choices and big choices when he needs to. So, you know, KJ Choi hit a grand slam and next day was traded. And he's certainly not afraid. He's definitely in win mode, it would be fair to say. This is a very different Brewers organization from a couple of years ago.
Maybe Choi just disrespected the game and Craig Counsell wasn't happy. Maybe he smiled too much.
Yeah.
Right, we're cutting very short of time. James, can you tell me who you're going to pick out the two of these to win the division?
I think I have to go with the Cubs. I think the Brewers have been brilliant this year. They're definitely in win now mode because they brought in the likes of Kane and Yelich. When they had two, they had Brinson and Brett Phillips who looked like they could make it to the bigs this year, but then they brought in more depth to the outfield. They look strong, the Brewers, but I think the Cubs, I think in the long run, they've probably got a bit more to play around with as well. If they sign someone like Machado before the All-Star break, I just think they'll have too much come the end of the season. But yeah. I hope the race stays the same, and obviously I hope the Pirates get a few more wins against them.
Yeah, Brinson's on-base average is half Yelich's at the moment, so that seems to be working.
It's always nice having that moment of watching somebody go to another team and go, ha, he's rubbish. It's like me watching Moncada at the moment. Just watching Moncada and watching Chris Sale. I'm so happy we made that trade.
It was a good trade.
It was fantastic. And do you know what? At the time, I said it as well. I was like, this is a great trade because Dombrowski was not brought in to sit around and rebuild a team. Anyway, not about the Red Sox. Mike, tell me about the Brewers. Are they serious on your competition?
Yeah, if I'm going to be honest, yes. Like you said, the acquisitions of Kane, Yelich, Aguilar, Shaw, even Ryan Braun's not having an incredible year, but he's not doing too badly.
I think it's the fact that it isn't all on Ryan Braun anymore as well. That's the big change.
Yeah, of course.
He's in his mid-30s now and he's getting injured a lot more regularly and he seems to be crushing it or sort of striking out a bit more. So it's just having that extra sort of depth and versatility in bats that we didn't have 3 or 4 years ago when Braun was, was everything really.
Yeah, and as you said, Craig, your rotation pitching is going to be brutally honest, a bit bang average. So I'm hoping that Hayder and Jeffries' arms come August and September are absolutely shot to pieces because they are just phenomenal relief pitchers.
I think that's quite interesting that a Cubs fan is saying to somebody, "Oh, your rotation's bang average."
But no, just Hayder's incredible. And that hair as well. It's just flowing locks, isn't it? It's brilliant to watch.
It's like that.
Right, we're not talking about the real star of this team, though, which I'm pretty disappointed about. He's got an average of 500 at the moment, an OPS of 1,000. He's got an ERA of 1.42, and he's got that one win to his name. It's, of course, Wade Miley. When is Wade Miley going to be back?
Oh, he's on 60-day the elephant, isn't it? Will we ever see him again?
I hope so. Well, he needs to. That ERA is just going to keep going down. And he's a free agent at the end of this year, so you need to get him out there and get somebody like the Padres to stupidly take him for a load of prospects as they think they're in with a chance. Anyway, this isn't the NL West. We're not talking about that yet. Right, gents. Sorry to rush that end, but I think we're done. I think we've all kind of decided that the Cubs are going to win it with the Brewers pushing them.
I'm still cautiously optimistic, but I just think there's a few twists in the story yet. I think
James made the big point for me, the fact that the Cubs can go out and spend, they can go and get somebody that they need to go and get. They need to shore up that rotation, definitely. and I'm not entirely convinced Darvish is the man for it. If they can get, you know, a bag of balls for Chatwood, that would free up a roster slot. But we'll see. I think it's going to be definitely one of the interesting divisions this year, along with the NL West.
Yeah.
And, you know, after the Nationals, probably the NL East as well. So, yeah, the NL's keeping it nice and interesting for us, whereas the AL is being pretty predictable and dull.
Top five or top five for me in the AL. They've already decided the AL, I reckon. The top three are the top three. The top five, as in, you know, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros, Mariners, and I can't think of else. They're for me are the five that are going through. That's it. Might as well shut up shop now.
Yeah, I've kind of got to agree with that. There's going to be nothing coming out of the AL Central, is there? AL West, I still think the Angels could do something, and same with the Athletics as well. They seem to be able to make those trades that count for them towards the end. But yeah, the AL East and the AL Central is done. We can forget about those now. Anyway, again, it's not about them. This is about the NL Central. The NL Central, probably the oldest division or whatever it may be, but it's filled with those teams that everyone knows and they all got the big rivalries and it's great. And it's nice to see a division that unfortunately the Pirates slipped away, but it's still tight and it's great to watch. It's really interesting. It was exactly the same last year, wasn't it? Where it was bouncing around between the Brewers and the Cubs and it was brilliant to watch.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, thanks for listening to today's show. I'd like to thank our guests for coming on the show, very short notice. Guys, could you please tell us where people can find you on Twitter, if you do any writing, podcasting, or anything you want to plug at all, just let us know. So we'll start with you, James, as our Pirates rep. James, where can people find you?
Yes, you can find me on Pirates_UK Twitter handle, or the occasional article for Backflip and Nerds, and also my own personal one at James Fields.
Yeah, get involved. Go and follow James. You can watch him crying about the Pirates now because he was really up about it before, but unfortunately he's dropped a bit. Our Cardinals rep, who couldn't be here, but I'd like you to go and follow him anyway. It's Richard Churchill, so he's at rchurchill26. He's talking all about Cardinals all the time, so go and check him out. Our Cubs rep, Mike, where can people find you?
I'm only on Twitter, so you can follow me at MikeIvory91 or my fan page is at UK Cubs Guy.
Yeah, go and check them out. There's been some good bants between the Cubs and Brewers in recent weeks. So, Brewers rep, we've got Craig. Craig, where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Craig Hurring, HURRING. And we've got my colleague Mark Lewis is at UK Brew Crew, who I finally got to meet at the recent meetup in London, which was great. It's nice to hear with the hipster's choice because those of us who were there at Battlegrounds and we couldn't find a single other Brewers fan, it was a lonely life. But more people are discovering beer, cheese and sausages in Milwaukee than I am completely happy with that.
Yeah, I think they're definitely a hipster's choice. And if we're talking about trying to find fans, I mean, were there any Reds or Padres fans there? Probably not. So I've been your host, Tom Pringle. You can find me tweeting at @Batflips_nerds. Do go and check out our account at the moment because we've got some great competitions going on there. So we've got a Dodgers jersey and a Blue Jays hat that's up for grabs. We've also got the very exclusive New York Yankees London Series hat that's available. We're trying to reach that 3,000 followers. I think we're about 130 away now, so it's not too bad. When we're going to finally have Phil Hughes on the podcast because he set his benchmark at 3,000 followers for us. So please go and check us out. Go and follow us. Even if you don't like the Yankees, just follow us so we can at least get Phil Hughes on and finally remove that Yankees picture from the top of our page. Yes, go and check out backflipsandnerds.com. The guys saying beforehand, we're getting a lot of submissions at the moment. It's fantastic. I'm really struggling to keep up with them all, but it's brilliant because we're getting all this fresh writing. People are getting out there and being able to write about whatever they want. So, and if you want to get involved, do come to the website and just get involved. Come and speak to us. There's a contribute button there. You can click on that and copy and paste your article into there and you can get involved and it comes straight into my email inbox. So I can then go and check it out and then put it on the website. We have not yet to this day rejected a post. Every single post has gone on there. So whatever you want to write about, whatever it may be, you getting into baseball for the first time, you learning about different podcasts, you reading baseball books, come on and write for us. We'd really love it. Thank you all for joining us. My throat is about to die and it's way past my bedtime. It's 10:40. Right. Good night, everyone. Bye. Just keep talking. I mean, we're live now, but you just keep talking. This is probably going to go at the start, but just keep talking. It's fine. On behalf of the Cardinals and the podcast. But,
I think we believe strongly that Travis is a strong,
ball-driven,
compete.
Getting some live streaming.
So I was going, I was just checking where he was in the draft.
Right.